Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
Amen. This is almost going to be a repeat from last week. What's interesting is, now last week we had Elijah, and we had a mother with two kids. And she was concerned for the two kids. Now, Elijah was the product of Elijah. So we're going from 2 Kings, and we're jumping backwards to 1 Kings. And we're going to be talking about Elijah this morning. And he happened to be involved with a widow, a mother, with a child, with a son. And we're going to look at that this morning. So in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, we get the introduction of Elijah for the first time in Scripture. And then God speaks to Elijah and tells him that it's not going to rain for several years and to prepare for that. And he tells him to go to a brook near the Jordan where he'll be able to drink water, and then he's going to have birds or ravens actually come and bring him food every day. Probably pick up breads and crumbs, whatever. But they're going to bring, the birds are going to come and drop off different food for him to eat during this time of a drought. Well, after some time, the brook itself dries up because of the drought, and so he has nothing to drink. So now God tells him to go to Zarephath town, where he's going to meet a widow woman who's going to sustain him the rest of the drought. And this is where we pick up in verse 10 of 1 Kings chapter 17. It says, "So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, 'Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink.'" Well, what happens is the woman says, okay, she starts going to get some water. Then the rest of the scripture comes where he says, while she's going to get it, he said, "By the way, while you're doing that, get me a little morsel of a cake." And then verse 12, this is what her response is. She says, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a curse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, so that we may eat and die." Now you got to think about it. The drought's occurring, so there's nothing's growing. Food's getting very scarce. Here the woman has, and she says she has a handful. So she don't even have enough to make, I'm going to call it a loaf of bread, you know, which we would consider a cake. All she's got is enough for one hand and enough oil to mix that. And she's going in to have her last meal, and they're going to starve to death. And yet, Elijah says, "Wait a minute, while you're going to get some water, I want you to get me a cake too, and bring it to me." And this is her response. And Elijah then tells her, "I want you to give me the last of your food, and you bring it to me." And she's confused, but at the same time, she listens to him. Now, she probably knows he's a man of God because it was a great reputation. I mean, every time you read something in Scripture about Elijah or Elijah, you hear that, oh, yeah, that guy, yeah, he's a man of God. No, and the kings are always saying something negative about him, about either one of them. And so you got to assume that they know of that, like we know of, say, a great a good evangelist or something. We may not have heard him, but we've heard of him, you know. And the same thing may have occurred to her. So she knows that he's probably a man of God. So she listens to him. And he goes to get it. And what I think is interesting is she's had enough faith, not knowing what's going to happen. Because when he tells her that, he doesn't say anything else at that moment. And she's going to get it and give. She's literally given her last to him. But he said, "Then go back and make you one and make your son one." Now think about that. He's already saying that there's going to be something back there. she don't know where it's coming from. And then Elijah finally tells her, fear not. When you make the cake, and for thy son, I thought to myself, think about this for a moment. God's way is always doing others first, and then we take care of ourselves. And then I got to thinking, isn't that just like a mother, too? Mothers are always taking care of their family, always taking care of their husband, always doing that, and their everything. Matter of fact, on was it the news or something yesterday where the woman says women have to take time for themselves? Remember that? That was on TV last night. And the woman was going to the gym, weightlifting and stuff. And she says, like, you got to have a little time for yourselves to, you know, break up the stress and stuff of the family and all. And I got to thinking here, that's the way moms are. And my wife even shared her little dessert last night with me. And she had just enough for her. She said, I'm not eating the whole thing, so she cut it in half. And I, by the way, I did enjoy that last night, too. But even yesterday, she got some chocolate-covered strawberries. And she wanted to give them out to everybody. And they refused to take it. This is your present. This is for you. Don't. And she's our Mac. That's the way moms are. And I noticed that with my mom and other people that I know, mothers, that's the kind of reaction it is. And here, he's asking this mom to forfeit everything for her family and give it to him. Now, I think that's kind of interesting. But isn't it God's way? It's always about the other person. And but, again, to me, this is just another test from God, saying, just do this. So, she does it. And then after she does it, what's interesting, God tells her, thus said the Lord. After she does, she said, thus said the Lord. And he tells her what God says to him. And he says, what her barrel of meal will not go empty, neither will the curse end. It will keep having enough oil to make another cake, and another. And now they can make cakes, it's saying. And what's another interesting thing, this is God's grace. Talking about God's grace this morning. He even goes as far as to tell her how long this is going to last, which was until the rain is going to come. Which would make sense, because once the rain comes, one thing I always enjoy is watching a thunderstorm. I'll rephrase that. Watching the effects of the thunderstorm afterwards. When I look out and look at the color of my grass just turn beautifully green because of the nitrogen in a thunderstorm. And then, also, if it hasn't rained for a while and it rains, everything grows. It seems like it grew an inch or two. Even the weeds, the grass, everything just seems to respond so quick. So naturally, once it starts raining again, things are going to start growing pretty quick. And all. But God gives grace as much as is needed and then stop when it needed to stop. So that's an interesting thought there. And then the woman's apparently growing in faith here because she sees this. Can you imagine again, just like last week, sitting there keep taking out, and the next day, hey, look at that. This is the same amount. It's back in there again. I can make another cake. And you all the same amount. And then she uses that up, and it's empty. And the next day, it's there again. Now, your faith has got to grow by seeing that happen day after day after day. And when all else, everything looks pretty good, things turn to the worst for the woman. Her son gets sick and dies. And she, in verse 18, she says to Elijah, she goes to him and says, what's going on here? She says, you have caused remembrance of my sins. Here's what she's thinking. Because the man of God is in her house, she thinks that God now is looking at her in her house because the man of God's there, because she's with the man of God. So now the man, God is looking on her and reviewing her past sin and now slays her son for punishment because of her past sin. And that's what she says to him here. Have you drawn attention to me because of you being here? And God ends up slaying my son. And then in verses 18 to 22, Elijah prays to God to bring the son back. And what's interesting here is that Elijah usually knows what's going on. God always tells him, you know, this is going to dry up, go to that person. He knows everything ahead of time. But here, Elijah does not know that the son was going to die. God did not tell him. And what's interesting is Elijah, not knowing that, he prays to God and says, "Why have you brought evil to this woman who has helped me?" And I thought to myself, isn't that interesting? So he didn't know that this was going to happen. He's praying and asking and questioning God why this took place, which I think is neat. For this reason, how many times, and you just heard about it in testimonies this morning, moms constantly praying for the kids and all that. And sometimes your prayers don't seem to be answered right away. And sometimes you pray and pray and pray. And what's interesting, Elijah prayed three different times to raise this boy back from the dead. Now, in all these other miracles he does, he goes out, does it one time, and it happens. But it didn't happen until the third time for this child. There's another lesson. God continually wants us to continually pray and uphold our family. And how many moms and I've heard over the years pray a lifetime, and then the child finally came to know Christ as their Savior. Or the child that was saved and living wrong got right with the Lord. And like I always tell people, every time you watch something on TV, it's always, "Hi, Ma." I very rarely do you ever hear, "Hi, Dad." Mom are held in a high regard. And you know what else is interesting? When I was going to go ahead and do this, I said, "Well, Lord, you know, this is almost the same sermon as last week. Isn't this being a little redundant?" And then I got to thinking, I guess God just got hold of my heart and said, "Yeah, it's the same lesson, but sometimes we got to hear a repetition." And think about this. 1 Kings has this. 2 Kings, the same situation. It's just Elijah is there with another woman with two sons, and it's basically the same thing happening again. Now, if it's that important for God to have it in two separate books, right, one after the other, don't you think it's an important thing for us to look at? Especially when God has a repetition of it. And I think, and not only that, but in this particular one, here she gets the blessing of the food, and everything's taken care of. So naturally she's relaxed because now her son's going to live. And she knows she's got at least to the end of the drought. And the next thing happens, she loses her son. That had to bring her down. And she does say it. If you read the scripture, I didn't want to bring out all the scripture. I want you to read it. But she complained to Elijah, "Why'd you do this? Why did this happen after all this?" But what's really neat is what happens next. And that's in verse 24. And the woman says to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art the man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is true." And I think, what does this verse tell us? And this woman knew, and she did believe in the man of God when he first came. But then afterwards, losing her son had to bring her down somewhat. But then she trusted in him again. Hey, and he goes upstairs in the room, lays, and he actually laid on the child, body for body, laid on the child, which was unusual too. And then prayed and got up and then got back down and prayed. And then I got to thinking, somebody else prayed three times. And that was Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane when he didn't want to go to the cross. And he prayed three times, the exact same prayer each time. And here, Elijah is doing the same thing, praying three times, the same prayer, trying to raise his son. And wouldn't it have been interesting that if the man of God gave up on the second one, saying, "I guess it's not God's will," but he kept praying. And that's why I want to challenge your mom today, is that you don't stop praying, ever, about your family. Especially when things aren't going right with your family. Or you wish they were saved and they're not saved. Or they're saved and not living for the Lord. Or having problems. My son has been so excited about how God's been blessing him and blessing him and all. And yesterday he was telling me, he says, "Dad," I forget what he said, I think the last 3 weeks or something. He says, "Everything could go wrong has went wrong." And the first thing I said to him, I said, "Don't lose faith in the Lord. You just keep praying. He said, well, I am. I said, okay. But I said, don't lose faith just because things go wrong. God could be testing you. You know, sometimes God lets things like that happen. How is your faith? You know, it's so easy to be strong in the Lord when everything's going right. When you're really going to see whether you got faith is when things are going wrong in your life. And you start trusting God and doing the right thing and praying. And that's what she did here. And she says the woman just is excited now. Simply trusting in Elijah was her first thing. But then she realized this is of God. And God controlled this and brought her son back to life again. And what's really neat is just the fact she says, I know that there is a God. Now, every time something big happens to our life, do we not say almost the same thing, for words? Isn't it a great encouragement when you've been praying and praying, and all of a sudden you hear that prayer answered or see it being answered, and you get excited and go, wow, yeah, God's in control. And your strength, your faith, everything has increased drastically because you see God work. And what's important, and this is why I stress the testimonies, is that we got to keep thinking about what God has done for us in the past. Why? Because when something drastic happens again in the future, we don't go boo-hoo. We just go down and pray and get on our knees and pray and ask God and help us to understand what's going on. Help us to have the faith to keep trusting. I said, Lord, I'm human. And I've said this prayer many times. Lord, I'm human, and I know my first reaction is why? You know, why am I going through this? Why is my family or my kids going through this and all? And what's really been strange, which I briefly mentioned, that every one of our children had an accident during at their early age, around 16. And now our granddaughter had an accident at 16. So I wonder if Caitlin's going to have one when she's around 16. Is it a coincidence? I don't know. But you worry about that. And for years, my wife always talked about what she dreaded was that phone call. And with me being gone on a motorcycle, I used to brush it off until finally one day she had a problem. And her and her sister tried to go through to Delaware by way of the mouth of the harbor, that tunnel there is 20 miles long, the mouth of the
Bay Bridge.
No, not the Bay Bridge is further in. This is at the mouth of the Chesapeake. I think it's called the Chesapeake Bridge or something. It's part bridge, part tunnel for 20 miles. You're going through the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay at the ocean side. Well, anyhow, North Fork is right at the beginning. That's where you enter it. And they're lost. They're down at a pier. And they're scared to death. And for the first time in my life, I realized I was helpless because I'm in Greenville. They're up there. And I just had a map I carried around. Okay, go back this way. Get on this route. No, I felt really helpless. And I finally realized what it's like to get the phone call. Even though her life wasn't in danger, she didn't like where she was. She was at the end of a dock, and she said, it didn't look very promising there. They wanted to get out of there quick. And here, I couldn't run up there and help her real quick. So I realized what moms go through a lot about their family and prayer. And here's a mom that trusted in Elijah and then trusted in God and saw God work in her life and was greatly encouraged. Her faith grew. And that's what I want to challenge you, Mom, especially today, as well as all of us, that we have to constantly keep that faith, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how long you have to pray, you just keep praying. And the best part about it is something that Diane said, that you can call up, knowing that your mom praying, and call them up and say, Mom, please pray for that, because you know she's really going to pray. And isn't it wonderful to know that your kids know you pray for them? And that you pray for the family and for the grandkids and all. And to me, this is just a wonderful example of how mothers can react to God. Though this is a good lesson. God wants us to trust in Him, to prove ourselves. Sometimes we're going to be tested. And hey, these tests are never easy. Especially when you lose something or something doesn't go right. Two different prophets, two different women, the same subject. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Mothers, you do not have to try to do everything yourselves. You got to look to God. The biggest thing that I can encourage you this morning is for you to, everything you do, you're going to go out and buy clothes for your kids or your grandkids, do it through God. You go, what do you mean? Well, maybe you don't have enough money. But you got to trust the Lord to find the best place to buy, the best deal and all. But you know what? You can pray for that. Commit that to the Lord. Commit the food, the housing, everything that you do. Everything gets committed to the Lord. Whatever you're going to spend, whatever you're going to do with your family, everything you do, you should do through God and not do it by yourself and assume, well, what's the big deal? I got $50 in the bank. I'm going to go out and spend $50. Don't take it for granted. Do everything you have through God. And believe me, God will bless and God will work things out. And maybe sometimes you'll end up buying $100 worth of clothes for $50. It has happened with us. I started something here. Look to God for help through everything. And just think about these two women and what they went through and how their faith grew during this time. And to me, it's just wonderful to be able to see God work in your lives. And to me, it's an awesome responsibility. The more I see with my wife's working right now, but the hardest job, and I'll be honest with you, even watching my son right now, just being a single mom, or trying to play mom as well as dad, and that it's a hard job. I'm not sure I want it at all. And to sit there and do all the stuff that they do every day, and I don't like it. And for years, I haven't liked when women on TV downplay motherhood. And you know, we got to go out and we want to be a vice president of a bank, or we want a career and all that. To me, the biggest, hardest career is being a mom and all, taking care of the kids and the husband and all that. And I think too many people today downplay that responsibility. So just look to the Lord, and I hope that this has been somewhat of a challenge last week and this week, to trust in the Lord. And no matter how many years you have to pray about something, or your kids or grandkids or family or whatever, God's there and He knows what's going on. Let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org. Or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.